Hi, everybody. Terry Brown here from Bass Fan Radio, and with me today is Marty Stone. And Marty, I tell you what, you know, you look at this bass fishing business, it's changing every day, and we just got an announcement that bass has increased everything, and you've had a lot of changes in your life here lately by joining Bass Cat.
Man, it's been one of these years. If you blink, something's going to change, be it either with bass or my career or the whole sport of fishing. This has been a very exciting time, and yes, I have recently moved over to the oldest bass boat company in the world, and it's still family owned. And man, it's been an honor and it's been a privilege to join the Bass Cat family.
Well, you know, you got Rick and Ron Pierce over there, and the Pierce family have been a family business since they started, really. And it's got to make you feel pretty good that you're a part of that group.
You know, when they first come to me, and it wasn't Rick or Ron; it was a mutual acquaintance that I have that works with them. Asked me if I was interested, and I'm like, well, yeah, you're always interested, but I'm like, why do they want me? You know, because that family has always, staff has always been small, but it's been pretty doggone good. And to me, that was one of the most humbling moments I've ever had in the sport when I knew they had some interest in me. And it's been a neat ride, but it's been a very humbling ride because their tradition is with that company.
Well, you know, it's great to see our sport growing like it is. And I got to tell you, you know, in the last 2 years, probably maybe a little bit longer than that, I've seen Marty Stone really, you know, really get out there and really beat the bushes and work really, really hard with sponsors like Sidgo and American Rod Smiths and all the other people that you're with. And, you know, you've really raised the bar. And then last year having that big win at the beginning of the year really helped you. And it's just been a springboard after that.
You know, Terry, I've seen some rough times in this thing, but I've never given up, and even my whole career, whether it be good finishes or bad finishes, it's never been from lack of effort. I got a work ethic that I believe in, that I'll never lose, and if I ever do, I'll walk away from this thing. But I am very fortunate. I enjoy some great relationships with some great companies in this sport, and I don't only think myself, but I think of guys like Gerald and Skeet Reese and the Stephen Brownings, and man, the list goes on and on. You're really raising the bar to this thing. And some of these companies are seeing the excitement and enthusiasm that we have for this sport and the passion that we have to make this thing better. And they're jumping on board and they're becoming a part of it.
Well, it's unbelievable. You know, the young guys have really brought some new things to this sport. And, of course, the television coverage and all those kind of things. You mentioned Skeet Reese and you mentioned, you know, some of the guys from Lucky Craft there. And, you know, I know here recently we're going to get to see this program very quickly. They took an old goober from North Carolina who's a flipper and a spinnerbait fisherman, and you went out and showed him you could throw a jerkbait, too.
It was so funny. We had a show that we had to film some in January, and Mike Alton, who's the producer, is also a fellow fisherman. They were coming to North Carolina in January, and I know he was very hesitant. He was like, well, all right. I said, come on, man. I promise you we'll make the show. I went out and messed around on that little lake about a day before they got there, and I flipped and spinnerbait and everything. I couldn't catch one. About 30 minutes left, I picked up a jerkbait. I caught about a 5-pound pike, a 5-pound largemouth, and a 2-pound largemouth. I'm like, well, right there it is. They showed up. I picked them up at the airport. I said, boys, we're going jerkbait fishing. The first 4 hours of filming, they didn't even want to speak to me. They're like, this is going to be a waste of our time. This guy wouldn't know how to operate a jerkbait if you paid him. Well, about 5 hours into this thing, I was whacking them pretty doggone good. And those boys, Millman and Mike Alton, sitting there with their jaw on the boat. I'm like, guys, you need to pick up your tongue a little bit. You're drooling. They didn't know I had it in me.
Well, you know, you look at this thing, and the Lucky Craft Pointer, of course, has been a bait that's been a stellar performer all the way across the country. And, you know, you look at that thing, and you'd think a guy that's a shallow water specialist like you are, you might have found an application that maybe, you know, not cold water necessarily, but maybe you'd pull that out of the repertoire. But, you know, you get out there in those deep water, cold water situations, boy, they're hard to beat, aren't they?
Terry, they're time frames, and that's what that bait's all about. The neat thing is it's a new bait, actually. I mean, we've got, it's a pointer, yes, but we've got a whole new series now called the Slender Pointer series. It's a Slender Pointer 97, a Slender 112, and a Slender 127. And, man, when that water temperature's down there, like in my particular deal, was 46, 47 degrees, they're not going to hit a jig, they're not going to chase a spinner bait, and they're not going to run after a crankbait. You got to jerk it down there about 2 times and stop it. And that's the whole deal with jerkbait fishing, is be patient enough to count to 4 or 5, and something's going to swim off with it if you're around them. It's like I told them during the show, it's not rocket science, and for me to catch them, it's got to be about a good bait. But, yes, it's definitely something. If you think you're a complete fisherman, you better know about it, because there's water temperatures that we see. That's the only way you're going to catch them.
Well, I gotta ask you here, Marty. You know, the question would be, did most of the fish hit when the bait was stopped, or they hit it when you were jerking it?
Every strike was on the pause, and I'd either watch my line jump, or when I got ready to jerk, after I paused it, I jerk it right into them, and they'd already eaten the bait. Every bite I had, and we probably caught 15 or 20 fish on camera, every bite I had was on the pause.
Man, you think about that, you know, springtime is coming around the corner for most of the country. You know, here up here in the cold country, you guys are getting ready to go to Toho. You're ready to fish a big first bass event, and you're getting ready to go down there in a nice warm climate. But the rest of the country is thinking about boat shows and getting out there and thinking about that spring fishing. Man, you better get a jerkbait tied on pretty quick.
You really have. I'll tell you what, last year we fished in some of the most brutal weather, and I learned a lot about fishing last year. You always do. But I saw two different tournaments. We'd start the tournament, the water temperature would be below 44 degrees. And I'm like, there's no way. We're not going to catch a bass. We not only caught them, we brought them by the truckloads. We, as people, put limitations on these fish. You hear about this wintertime fishing. They're going to be in 50 foot of water. They won't bite. I'm here to tell you right now, they bite and the biggins bite. You've just got to change up the tactics that you use. And it's not always about a little shaky head worm or dragging a Carolina rig in 50 foot of water or jigging a spoon. These fish still want to eat, and you just got to be able to match the rhythm of the fish.
Well, there's no question that jerkbait has been a stellar performer in Lake of the Ozarks, you know, down at Beaver and a lot of the other lakes, but it's really gained prowess across the country. And the pointer minnow, as you mentioned, and now with the slender pointer, a lot of things are going on there where that bait, you know, the way it balances, the way it suspends, a lot of the neat things about that Lucky Craft bait really makes it very, very important in your repertoire.
We were very fortunate. Gerald, myself, and Takahiro went to Japan, and I really got to see the ins and outs of those baits being made. And I never knew this, but for every Lucky Craft bait that's made, there's a minimum of 32 hands, pairs of hands, sets of hands, that touches each individual bait. Our jerk baits are designed to suspend in 55-degree water or less. You can throw it 70, it's going to have a tendency to sink a little bit. You can throw it in 55-degree water or less, it's a neutral bait, it suspends. That's how finely tuned our baits are. But think about it. Your best jerkbait fishing in the year is always around 55 degree or less temperature. When you get above that 55 to 58 to 60, yes, it'll work, but there's other techniques like our Lucky Craft crankbait that work even better.
Well, you got to be just excited about being with Lucky Craft. Now, I'm going to talk about you as a TV star here a minute. You know, you've got classic patterns. You're going to be a star here pretty quick. You talked a little bit about that show, but that's cutting new ground. Mike Auten's doing a great job of cutting new ground there.
He has. You know, and I give all the guys on the Lucky Craft team, we worked hard and made the first series a really good run. At one particular time when we had it on, and it was put on by Lucky Craft, it was the highest rating show we had on the Outdoor Channel, and they just absolutely loved it. Some things happened. Promotional monies got moved. We took it off the air for a little bit, but we got a new company that owns the thing. And the neat thing about what we're doing here, we're going to have anywhere between 10 and 12 stars. There's going to be people like Rick Klun now that is a part of this thing. Timmy Horton's also an addition. Along with all other Lucky Craft pro staff, we're each going to do our own series. And now we're going to start designing some instructional videos. You're going to be able to get in the boat with Gerald Swindle and see how he breaks down a dock pattern. You're going to be able to get in the boat with Kelly Jordan and watch him throw a lipless crankbait at Lake Fork. You're going to be able to get in the boat with Rick Klun and watch him crank in the fall. And we're going to have these things not only through our shows, but through instructional videos. It's going to be for sale. You can actually create a library of your favorite angler. Kevin Van Dam spinnerbait fishing, 50-minute instructional videos. We're going to raise the bar on how you teach fishermen to fish, and it's all through Mike Alton and his vision of this show.
Well, you know, Marty, as you know very, very well, the season is right around the corner, and when you look at Toho now, it's going to be fun, you know, and I really appreciate you being with us here at Bass Fan Radio. Good luck at Toho.
Terry, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for everything you guys do, and it's been my privilege.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.